Okay.
Yes, welcome to the Swedish Junior Hockey Podcast. Jacob Dahlin, today's guest, Switek Hockey, Dagge Wenström.
Yes, that's my nickname.
Yeah, Dagge. And a little bit of a, so I got introduced to you by a previous guest, Mange from Skills and Prehab. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, Mange, yes.
Yeah, and I think we talked about, I think he said he worked with you many years ago and kind of learned a lot in some of the ways that he's taken on the same philosophies from those years ago.
15 years we worked together.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your background a little bit. Switek Hockey, what is it? And a little bit of your background.
My background is I'm coming from the South Sweden, from Småland. And today I'm 59 and I leave very early. The village I come from, Landsbro, and that is a hockey town, like Leksand, or it's a small town. Is hockey is very big, and we have today you can maybe Eric Carlson in San Jose coming from there, and his dad and me play together. We were defensemen, both of us, and but I leave early and start my hockey career in different kind of clubs in North Sweden, in Gothenburg, and go around there. So, and I always had been very trained very much for my passion was hockey. That was the only thing we learned in Landsbro in Småland, and the problem I have. Was that I get hurt in my knee very early in my career. So I stopped when I was 23, I think it was. I was in HV71, and then I didn't get any spot really there. So they sent me to another club, and then I go 1 year to Germany. And then after that, I come here to the South, and then I said my knee's not whole anymore, so I stopped.
Yeah.
And then I start coaching hockey players as a team in coaching, and have a good team here in Kristianstad, young team, and I developed them, and I think it was four players in that these years I have who play very high in the end of this player's career. So my philosophy was that everyone should have education instead to just have that kind of we are going to win, win, and win. They need something. Learn them to skate, learn them to play, have fun, and see everyone. So that was my philosophy very early when I started to coaching team. And I have coaching every age and senior teams, and have been assistant coaching in Germany, in the DL League, in the Danish Elite League, and have junior elite teams here in Sweden too. So I have been in very many kind of levels and get a very good experience from that. I was in the national team for women too. 2001 in World Championships in Minneapolis, and I helped them out to the Olympic silver we took 2002 in Salt Lake City too. So I have lots of experience of female hockey and boys hockey and senior hockey. So, but in the end, when I was senior coaching, I had a big problem with many players. For I had one player I remember, he couldn't not stop. So he was a defenseman, and when he go out in the corner, he just go out in the corner, but just pang. And I ask him, why do you not stop before you hit the guy? I cannot stop. Okay, that must be a problem. For if you cannot stop, and so any more players who cannot stop, they're going to fire me. We are not going to win any games. And there was my starting thinking about, I want to develop players instead to coaching them as a coaching a team. So there where I was thinking, how can I start this kind of company to do that? When I started this company to develop player, many look down on me and said, why should we pay you for to do that and that and that? We have that in the team. So it took many years to come over that kind of step before they want to pay me for develop them. Today is no problem, but on that time was many who didn't like me, if you say like that.
How long ago? So how long have you had that? How long have you been on the player development side full time?
Sweetech is 25 years this year.
Wow.
So I mean, 25 years.
I just think, and that's the thing that kind of draw me. Of course, I got recommended, you know, to you to have this conversation. But I think that was my first. There's a lot of skills coaches, player development coaches out there today, but yeah, there's very few that has been around that long, in specifically that area. And I'm interested in. So here's a couple of things I wanted to get, and I wrote down kind of on my bullet points, and that is, so much of what I do in my profession, which is not in hockey necessarily, but it deals with strategy, meaning what are we doing, how, and then execution or the methods. The strategy is what are we doing, and then the execution or the methods, which is how are we doing it, and then the philosophy behind it, why are we doing it? But then also the execution, effectiveness, and efficiency of those things. So let's talk first of all about you have a philosophy of developing the hockey player to be a hockey player, and not just good at skating, as an example, or not just good at shooting or passing, but the whole person on and off the ice.
Yes.
So talk about the strategy, first of all.
As my strategy is that the player should be, in the first, they are going to be very, they're going to be a hockey athlete. So they are not going to be good at a few things. Like when you're working with off-ice training, I don't just do the ordinary thing. We do lots of things. So I do CrossFit by myself, so it's very nearly to CrossFit, but I put in all different kind of things to get them to a hockey athlete. But it's very important them to understand how you are on the other side, how you social are against other ones, like how you are in school, how you meet when you meet another player, how you're going to be, and that. So I develop them on that too. When they have my players who are coming here in the next weekends, who I mentor for, they learn not just, they don't do just physical as a office training here. We talk about how should I be, how should I think about when I do that and that. When I meet you, I always say hi. Maybe I take my hand and your hand. And so they have I'm like a dad for them. So that is one other thing in my philosophy, that you should be very social against the other ones and be good at other people. And then you should be, like I said, a hockey athlete. So you're going to be very strong on many things, not just for hockey. You should do lots of things who's very good. And then I develop the hockey things, like skills things, but that should integrate to the off-ice training. So if I do off-ice training, you can see it in the skills in hockey too. So I don't do just hockey skills for hockey skills. So it's like a pyramid. So I want to have everything, every step on. And I always plan it very carefully how I put it into every player I work with. So when I have an ordinary camp, I cannot do that for 24 players, but I always start with the basic things. I always introduce how I thinking, how you should think here to the other players. You have respect for them. You don't say that and you don't say that. And I give a shit what club you come from, if you are from Frölunda or whatever. Here we are Swiatek and we are respect each other and that and that. So that's the base ground for my philosophy. So what I want is, if I send a player to you, if your club calling me at, we are interesting of that player. Like yesterday was a club who called me. They one of the players I mentor for, he's going to maybe go to a hockey gymnasium in the North Sweden. So they call me and I said, this is how I developed this player. So you're going to get the player who know how he's going to train, how he's going to do on ice, and how he's going to be outside ice. How he's going to eat and this and this. So they are good players to get to the club. So that's why clubs call me, like Timo and Björklöven and Karlskrona. They call me. They know that the players have a good education.
Yeah.
So that is philosophy. So not just hockey camps for hockey skills, but that is just maybe a percent of 100, if you say like that.
So talk a little bit about, I think the other interesting part is that you don't know your normal person, that your player that you're working with is not necessarily the fully developed one that comes to you and they're already in the NHL, but a little bit different.
Yeah, the most of the players, if you look at them today when they are senior and maybe are top players, is that I start with them when they are 9 years old and around 9 years. So many of the people who come into my camps, they start very early and they follow me. Some of them don't want to follow me for they think I'm too tough maybe or whatever. I am not lagom, some we say in Swedish. I don't know the English word for it, but they maybe want to have just have fun. But for me, fun is to develop and get some good things so you can use it when you are a hockey player. So that's why I started early with them and developed them, and they follow them me and then they coming back when they are juniors and seniors, like Simon Evanson, Hampus Plato, and these players who have played in SHL and Simon is in NHL, and it's more of them. So that is my philosophy too. At I work with them very early, so I know them well. I know the parents and I know everything. So when the guy here from the club who called yesterday called me, I know a lot of the players. I know how they are in school, how good they are in school, so I can say that and that.
How does it work with a player that may have come to the a couple of years in camp? When do you start working with them more than just on a week camp, so to speak? What does that look like? Because it's got to be challenging a little bit logistically with distances, and I would imagine most of the players are down there in the south.
Yes, from Gothenburg, if you take it like that, and down is the most of the players. But if you say that when we start with the player from the south, I work with the most of them. It's at the coming on the camp, and after maybe a year or a month, they ask me if I can they come into my program, my mentor program, and these kind of things. And then they must write to me and ask, and so I can see, why do you want to be in my mentor program? But it's not just to be in that. It's a much you must improve for me to go into this program. So, and after that, if they come into the program, they have off-ice training on my, having my cell phone. I have an app there so they can, I do the program for them. So they do them home home, and then they come one time in a month to me, and we have ice practice, or like now in the off season, they come in here to my performance center here, and we do the test for them so I can see how they get forward when they're training and program them between. We have 4 weeks between, and then they come back and we do the test and I probe them again and that and that. So that is the ordinary thing. But then we have players who not go to the mentor program. So, but they, most of them take my app and do my off-ice training too, for that is integrated to each other. So that's why they want to have the both things, someone say like that. And then it's very easy to me and the other coaches I have in Team Sweetech here to develop them on ice, but we know what they are strong at. If we have a player who coming the first time and we have a player who have been with us for a year or 2 years, it's a big difference to see, even if they're the same age. The guy who have been for us for 2 years, he's strong. He had lots of skills on the edges, so he can do lots more things. But he have training off ice and on ice with us, so he had another body control. So the body control is one of my philosophies, so is very important.
Yeah.
Even if it's on ice or off ice, I always have lots of things when we do that. Like yesterday, I had players, they working a lot with 1 foot. Sometimes they go on the line. You know, you have like a circus when they go on. So do lots of these kind of things so they can, they must have body control. That is one of my, I talk most of. If you don't have body control, how you should skate on ice? For you are going to have this combination, so you know where you have your body. So these things are so important. And I, that's why many of them love to come, for they improve every time when they're coming. So.
So one of the players that are playing or that are working with you, how much time are they spending with you and your coaches in person?
Do you mean mentor program or ordinary?
Yeah. I mean, you got one thing is when you have a camp and you may be together on a week, but that's a little bit special. But the ones that follow you on an annual basis, do you know they train in their rink and sometimes they come to you, or how does it work?
Yeah, they come one time in a month to me in the rink, and we do. I do my program after. It's like school; they have a program for the school. How you're gonna educate? I have the same.
Yeah.
So it's not a big difference there. And then they do my off-ice training every week, maybe 3-4 times a week, and then they have the off-ice training with the club too, and that can be 3-4 times too. And then they have ice practice, maybe 3 or 4. It depends how old they are. Is it the junior player, like I have in Växjö, I have junior there. They have maybe 4 ice practice or 3 ice practice and 1 game. And then they have off ice training. And then they have my program for 3 times too. So that is a lots of things they're going to do for that week. But my program is just 30 minutes. So it's no problemo. You can rest after that. So my program is about 30 to 40 minutes. So you can put it in the morning before you go to school. Many do that, and or you do it. I have a player who did it on lunch. when he had lunch in the school, he did go to the gymnastic hall and do it there. So it's the I always said to the player, you must plan your day.
Yeah,
you must plan
but
your
that's.
Day.
But that's a customized for that particular player, and that may not be the same for the other player, right?
No,
I think that's good. What are what are the problems? I know I'm opening up Pandora's box here when I say what are the problems that you see, because I know that there's plenty, but what are the things that you see that irks you?
It's at the clubs here in Sweden. They many times they think that they earn the player. You cannot do that and that and that. But if you look, we have many good hockey players in Sweden, and they do an excellent work. But you must think you are a different kind of person than me. So if we do train the same, it's maybe not you're going to be the best and I'm not going to be anyone. So I think the biggest problem we have in Sweden that when I have been in Switzerland and Germany, when the season is end, the player are free to do whatever they want. So many of them take ordinary as a pay for PT as a own coaches and trainer. And like in US in Canada, you have maybe a tryout in August, and between there you can do whatever you want. I think the problem I want to do in Sweden that let the players do more individual things if they want to doing it, and if they have afford to doing it too, for it's cost sometimes. So that I think is a big problem. I have clubs who said to my players, you cannot do that. It's if you want to play here, you cannot doing it. But he's a junior player, he's maybe 15 years old. How can you decide that? If the parents and the boy want to do that, and you are still in the club, you train there, you play there, and they cannot see anything different between that he is going to be better. Is that the problem? Not for me, but for the club is many times the problem.
Why do you think that is?
I think they are jealous or something like that, maybe he do a better job, but maybe I don't do that sometimes. It's just I put it in to the individual that I see him. You know, if you have 30 players in the elite club, like we have many elite clubs in the south, like Rögle, Malmö, Växjö, and go on. And they don't give a shit about the player. They want them to perform. And I always said to my players too, the clubs don't, they give a shit about you. They want you to perform. So if you say to them, I cannot perform, okay, but I don't want to have you. I have 20 more who want to come in.
Yeah.
So he must think about himself, even if it's a team sport. For me, hockey is just a team sport when you play a game. Between there, it's an individual sport. You must always think about the sleeping, how you eat, how you train, and take the extra train. For the players who be something, they are always training more than the other players.
What about the stigma in Sweden? Jantelagen. That's got to be a word that you cannot stand.
No.
Explain Jantelagen for the American listener that.
But Jantelagen is more like you should do whatever everyone do.
Don't
if you go outside there, you are. Or
we look down on you that's not good. That's bad, or that's ugly, or that's a bad trait for you to be. You must be better than us, right?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Let me pull you down to the average.
But if you go to where you are in that country, they don't think like that. They always think, I want to be number one. I have a player who come now in February to me from New York. So they travel over and be here for a week, training him just one-on-one with him. And we were just talking about, and he too, I want to be the best. And I give a shit about the other ones. But here in Sweden, you never heard that. It's Zlatan who say that.
Yes.
The other players, I cannot be better than him. And they are afraid. Why are you afraid? No one is going to thank you when you are, if you want to be a top player. No one is going to thank you. So for me, it's the biggest problem is that I think many coaches and clubs are afraid if the players take an extra. I can understand it. We have a problem in Sweden, in Swedish hockey, not just with that kind of thing I work with. We have like teams who going around and play games. Like you have that, I think, in US too. It's like if I Swedish hockey, we don't have any developer camps. We just have game camps, you know, mm-hmm. and you pay for to be in that kind of group and you're just going around and play. That for me is, I don't like it, but I don't I don't think you develop like a player. You have fun. Maybe one time is very good, but you spend so much money for just go around and play 7 minutes each period, and the parents is going to pay for 30,000 Swedish crown to go to Italy or Germany to play this kind of tournament. That is one or two in the clubs, you know, for they are thinking at my company is the same shit.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. My club, company have been in 25 years, and you can see at the result. I have lots of good players in top leagues, and I have good players in other leagues too, who have been with me since they were very young. So I don't do any wrong.
So that brings me to my next point, and that's the two words, efficiency and effectiveness, right? Where you spend your time, everyone has a limited time and resources that is available to them, right? Most time, there's more time than people think, like what you're saying, hey, you can fit in 30 minutes here and you get lots out of it. But I think the other part is that there's a lot of people that spend an enormous amount of time and resources and money on things that may not bring as much results, meaning the efficiency of the activity that they put their time and effort and money on. I give an example. I heard someone talking about people spend so much time working on the stick handling and shooting versus the ability to go in and win the one-on-one battle in the corner, as an example.
Yeah.
And when you break it down, how is hockey played today is not about beating someone with a fancy toe drag. It's about winning the battle mano a mano. But go back to the efficiency and effectiveness part of what are things that you think are the core principles of, if you have limited time, where and what should you be doing as a junior hockey player, if we talk about that segment of the player population now? Should it be
off ice training.
That's what I was gonna say. Should it be the off ice?
Yeah. Off ice training. You know, I can give you an example. When Jon Dahlström, who was playing SHL in Oskarshamn, when he started with me, he was around 10 years old. I think he was 10. And John was on every camp I have, every camp. And he started the mentor program very late, if you say like that. But me and Magnus, like you talked about before, Magnus Olsson, we look at each other and see what he don't get better. We were nice and nice and nice and nice, and he didn't go better. So I asked him, this cannot be correct. So we must do something else. So we start them to do off-ice training instead with that thinking I talked about before. And then they'd be better on ice. So that is the key point when we saw that the off-ice training, if you can integrate that to the hockey skills and break it down, like you said before, what do we need for play a game? Not just doing lots of stick handling. Maybe don't do always skating. I always have 1 hour skating in the beginning of my sessions. But it's the off-ice training who take you technique and your skills level forward. So it doesn't matter. If I have been 20 hours on ice, I get an experience on ice and I can get the better feeling on skates maybe, but I don't gonna do the different kind of drills good with quality. For I don't have my my off-ice strange for it. So that is, I think, is the key point. That's why I always pointed every camp I have, every day I meet the players, like now I have a big camp here on Sunday. I'm going to say it for them maybe 20 times, off-ice training, off-ice training, off-ice training.
All right. So two things I want to bring up and break down on that I want to get your opinion on too. Number one, your favorite activity, running. number two. So let's start with that one. But I'm going to give you the number two, which is a lot of the pro teams are using certain measurements, must be able to do, you know, so much hang clean, so much squat, so much, so many pull-ups as an example. And I wanted to get your opinion on if those measurements hold if any weight in your opinion. But let's start with the running. What's your opinion on cardio and running specifically?
Is that the only way you can get cardio on, right? Running?
No, let's just start there.
I just asked for many coaches, many who develop player in many sports. It's not just hockey. I have I don't know what it is in English, handball and yep. Golf players.
European handball, yeah.
Yeah, precisely. And soccer players, ordinary soccer, not, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But they always think, we must run, we get cardio. Okay. But you must run for get cardio. Yep. Okay. Long? Yes, long. That's good to run. I like to run, but not if I am a hockey player. For if my niece is going to get hurt, if I'm a young player, if I'm about 13, 14, maybe younger, they can't not run. I have a football team I am coaching here. They're in division number two, is level four or something like that, but they're very high. They cannot run. I learned them how they're going to run. How can a hockey player then run? Today, they are still running. I stopped with that for 7 years ago. For we run. They run yesterday 200 meter warm up. They run. Mm-hmm. It's not the problem to run 200 meter. But if I'm going to get cardio, I work with high intensity intervals instead. And do it more fun and maybe more integrate with the sport I'm gonna be in.
I think of Rasmus Dahlin, you know, the clip where Flodin was working on the sand pit, running mm-hmm. up and down with the team in the sand pit, maybe a little bit better way of running than running flat, you know.
Yeah. It's much better, but it's depend on what time you do what you do. I don't know if you have seen my pyramid, how I work with player. I start in April to build the ground for them, and then I start with functional things like how we work like a hockey player, with how we skate and do these kind of movements, and then I get to the strain, and there you come in maybe on the next question you have. There I put in sometimes like hang power clean or power clean, but more hang power clean, and these things I take from the CrossFit. I work with CrossFit by myself. But I don't do the same. I always changing so the muscles can do lots of things, you know, but they need to get power, and that I need sometimes to take weight training. But that I do for a period about 4 weeks, and we are very hard there. Is now the players going to start next week, the senior players I work with very heavy weight training for 4 weeks, and I have starting now for this is about 6 weeks. I have so the body now something is coming, and it's going to be very very a lot of power on them. So the body is going to hold now. So if I start with that early, the body is not going to hold it. Yeah. So that's why I have my pyramid. So I follow that on the whole season. But then when we come to the off season, I start it again and look how the body function after a hard season. And then I build them up again. So I can get the lots of things, and they can work very much. So they don't get hurt. My players are not hurt. They are not wounded.
So what are they?
Something like that. For most of my college have wounded players. I have no one.
Yeah.
How do I do? I follow my pyramid. Very easy.
So let's talk about the season that you're in now. Of course, you do if for the folks that go to your website, which we're going to talk about, but it's sweettechhockey.com. If you go, you do an awful lot of summer camps out there. But what are the things going on in the season, in the off season now for you? What are most of your players doing now?
Now they do lots of intervals with different kind of functional workouts with dumbbells and kettlebells and these kind of things. So they can do it whatever they can, doing it in hotel room, in the gym, back home, whatever. It's, you don't have to have a gym to work out. You can be on the beach. I have, for a couple of years ago, I have 8 players who followed me down to Spain. I always go to Spain in June. I go this year 11 June in 3 weeks, and then the players come down and we were working on the beach. So for me, you can work out whatever. So just now they're working very hard, and some of them have a very heavy double bars like that. For next week, they're going to start with the bars, and then they're going to have more weights on. So the body must be prepared for it so they don't get hurt or something like that. So now we have a lot of that, and we work about, I have intervals. I have 2 different kind of intervals. It's the one I want to have more cardio, and it's a 25-second rest, 10 seconds, and we do that for 6 laps. So we have about around 25 minutes work, and then we're working about around 80 to 85% of the maximum, where we have a pulse band on them so I can see all the time how they work when they are working. And the guys who are going to be on strength training next week, they're working more 30 seconds, rest 10 seconds. So you hear we have a very short rest time and work for 30 seconds. But no one in the whole world can work longer than 30 seconds in high intensity. If you take your son and you said, work now for 1 minute, he's gonna do a micro pause. He's not gonna work for a whole minute. He's gonna go down and don't work so much. But you can work for 30 seconds maximum if you have good training. So that's why we don't go over 30 seconds.
So when does let's say the season now starts in September. When is the heavy season over, and when do they start getting, you know, I'm sure you're building in a rest period, and then they start getting on the ice and kind of getting prepared. Because I would imagine that right now they're not skating much.
No, we don't have. So we have about 2 camps in May, and then we have some ice practice just. I don't want to have so many just now. I want the players to do off ice training.
Yeah,
that's why the parents call me all the time. Do you not have a camp? Do you not have a camp? No. Why should I have it? You should off ice training. But they are working now with the heavy training. Not every day. For it depends how I program them. Maybe. If you see, I have one senior here playing the Danish Elite League. He have about 4 days heavy weight training for next week, and 2 not so hard, more cardio things, you know, and stretching on this mobility on these 2 days too. And then he is free half in the weekend he's not going to do training, so they work from Monday to Friday, and then they are free on the weekend. So 1 day he do 2 and the rest are he doing about 1 or something like that.
So when do
we
they
always the weekends?
Yeah, when do they start getting on the ice? Is that in sometime in July or August?
In middle of July we have our camps, and many of them come then.
Yeah.
So they,
and then the
so
teams they, take, the teams start there sometime probably early August sometime then.
In the end of July, the senior players go on, and the juniors or the young players start in August in Sweden. I think it's too early. I think it's better to do like you do on other on US and Canada, is maybe start like in September instead, for the season is so long. But here in Sweden, in Europe, many, not just Sweden, they start very early in the beginning of August, but you know, just training on ice. And I don't know why you should doing it, but at Christmas you are not fun with ice, if you say like that. So it's better, I think, if I had the opportunity to decide, I should say the start in the beginning of September instead, and work for when I start with the senior player, they maybe have maximum 20 weeks to work off ice.
Yeah,
maximum. And if you have been in SOL and play the to April and like that, you maybe just have about 14 or 12 weeks to doing it. If you have 4 weeks vacation too.
And that's if you're not injured.
Yeah. If you have been injured, we start maybe with rehab in the beginning, like April, and take the body and start it up again and see what we must do with it. And that can take about 3 and 4 weeks too. And many young players, like junior players, they don't understand it. So they go on, start the off-ice season wounded, if you say like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches, they want them to be on the training. If you see in these small clubs and you have good trainers there, but they don't think about the players. But maybe one of the junior player have been hurt in his knee in the February or like that, and then they stop in the beginning of March, and he do nothing maybe in March, and then they start in April and the knee is still hurting.
Yeah.
And they go on, and he are not going to start the season very good. He's going to start very low, if you say like that.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a big problem for the coaches or the guys who work in where I don't think they understand everything sometimes. They don't have that kind of education. I have learned, I study medicine for 5 years. 5 years. How many coaches have medicine background?
Yeah.
So no. when I see a player, I can see inside him, for I have been, I have cut in people when they are dead. When you do this in the beginning, I want to be a doctor, but it was took too long time, so I jump off. But I read medicine in Uppsala. There I meet my wife, and you know, I have a very good education, so I know how you function. So I take that in with me. So that is the same I'm on ice. I don't skate ordinary skating like you do a toe push. I do a push with my whole feet on the side, not on rotation back like I learned when I was young. So I work how the body do the biomechanic.
Yeah.
So that is a different too. So I do the same integrate from the off ice to the ice. So it's a little big, it's a difference between how many other maybe work.
Well, what comes to my mind is you're absolutely, what you're talking about here is not the average and not the norm, right? And I think that's the point. This is not
25 years, so.
Yeah, the point is not to be average, but if you want to be, I mean, for the one who wants average, you keep doing average. But if you want to be the best, you're going to have to push. But it's also, I mean, I think back when I was growing up, thinking about how Gunda Swan, who was a legendary cross country skier.
Yeah.
Who took it to another level and became a true professional. He didn't just work hard, but he changed how we thought about diet. He thought about recovery, and he thought about things in terms of optimization, efficiency, effectiveness, and really to have a strategy that you follow with a purpose. Now that may, and also that is different from one player to the next, based on their physiology, based off of their needs and their deficiencies. And I think that that is, there's definitely opportunities. There's tons and tons and tons of talents, and there's tons of work that happens, but you know, the work harder, not smart, work smarter, not harder. You have to work really, really hard, but it's not always the answer.
No, but that's why I ask many players, do you want to be an athlete or you want to be, like everyone? It's dependent on you, but it's not the problem if you want to be that too. You know, we need players on every level, but you must understand if you put in money and time for work and whatever, you must think, what is my goal? What do I want with it? And SweTech is for everyone. I don't say that you must be top player to come to me. It's not that. Here, everyone can come. But I always, for me, when you come to me, I'm going to do the best for you. Then it's up to you how you're going to take it with you or not.
Yeah. Well, let's round out. What's the, so I want to make sure that people can, I think that your website is a very informative website. You're also on social media quite a bit, on Instagram and Facebook, these type of things. But what's the best way to find you? SweTech.com, tech with a C and not an, it's not a double H, SweetTechHockey.com, right?
The home site or my own home site, I have a xfittraining.com. No, S-E,
I think. Not S-E, yeah.
There you can see how I work with off-ice training. But you can go to SweetTechHockey.com. There you can go to my own side. You can see how I train there too. I put all my calendar there too, so you can see when I do my CrossFit, when I have my camps, and when I run running. I like run, but not the players.
So the other one is your podcast, which I know you talk a lot about these things, and they're really good. Most pod players out there, which is SweTech Pod, is the search word there as well. It's in Swedish, so you may have to.
I think I've done something in English, but now maybe I'm going to do it after this. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's easier for me to talk sometimes about. I most of the time in my pod, I talk about off-ice training, how you can be better if you want to be better, and try to understand the players and the parents and your juniors and seniors, that if you want to have a better contract, to find a better club or with your agent or whatever, you must have a good helping how you're going to train. It's not just to go to a gym. You're not going to be best in the gym. You're going to be best on ice. And that is big difference. You cannot do the ordinary workout we did when I was a young hockey player, running, just doing weights, and have some fun drills sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But today, hockey is more complicated. You need so many things. And you, like you said before, you must think about the rest. You must think about why, how you eat. That you can see on my own XFit there. You can see, I talk about how you can eat there too. It's very important. It's not, you don't have to be special for how you eat. Just eat better food, not with lots of sugar or whatever. Try to find the energy and good, and with protein and these things, so you get stronger. But for many, they eat junk food many times and they don't think about this. When they are young, they have a lot of talent, but they don't understand that the talent is not going to follow you the whole career. It's going to stop somewhere. Then you need what you have put in. And if you don't put in anything, it's going to end a day when you're not going to get forward to be a hockey player you have dream on. So that's why I always said, good off-ice training. Pay for it. It's not expensive to get a good program in the app. It's not much money. It's a hockey stick is so expensive. This is not expensive, but this can be better for you.
Yeah.
So I'm so, what I say, sometimes I be so angry and sad when I heard parents and kids when they are, I want to go to that camp and that camp and that camp and that camp and that camp. It's not going to be anything of that.
Yeah.
I
so empathize with it. So the season that we're in here in the U.S., and I'll close with this, and I think that this is, there's pre-draft camps. There's showcases. There are, you can go all summer and skate, and it's all about being seen. Of course, here it's about playing juniors and playing tier two or tier one junior hockey to be able to get a D1 scholarship. But
yeah,
so little is focused on getting better. And yes, you have to have a balance, and you have to go to some of these things to be able to get seen and the marketing aspect of marketing yourself as a player. But if you could say, yeah, cut out 90% of those and take 90% of your time, effort, and money and resources and work really, really hard. You know, I tell my son, I've got a ditch out here and a wood pile. And you can work really, really hard here, and that's going to give you more than going to a showcase. So
yeah, and you save the money too.
Well, I mean, but I think the bigger thing is really it's not the money; it's the resource that is the most scarce is the time.
Yeah.
Time runs away, and you only have so much time to put the work in. And if you don't maximize that time, time is fleeting. And then all of a sudden you're here at the beginning of the season and you can't get it back. And
like I had one player who was in Dubai now. He come home yesterday and he'd been in Dubai for 1 week. And what do you think he do there? Do you think he's just now he cannot be in the sun? It was very hot in Dubai, but he trained too. So you, like you said, you cannot be sick. You cannot be wounded. You must put in the time you have in the early time in your age. You must put in more.
Yeah.
Many parents said, oh no, he cannot train more. He do that and he do that and do that. Why? When you are young, it's no problem to train more, and you can train two times a day if you want it. If you don't want it, you're not going to push the player. But if he want it, let him do it. It's no problem. He can doing it, and that time he's going to have with him when he get older.
Yeah.
I said to the players I have on ice in the beginning of this week, I said to them, if you get sick or you're not going to train more this week, you have lost a week in your life, in your career. You must put in every day. What should you do every day? Why did you come on the off-ice training on Sunday? I ask a player. I was with my parents.
Yeah.
Okay, but did you not put in training then? For I see in the app that he had not trained.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have holiday. Okay, then you have holiday. But don't come to me and say that you're going to be a hockey player. What I mean about this is the same like you said. You must put in the time. You cannot go around to just be on ice. That I'd be angry too. But I have players who be on everything. And they are not going to be anything. I can say it to you now. I don't going to say a name, but I have lots of players who do every camps we have here in Sweden or around here. And I had players in the 10 years ago who did the same. They are not hockey players today. They are good people, They do other things, but they don't play hockey.
Yeah. It's a subject for another day about commitment, about the mental aspects and the mindset of, and I think you and I can both think back of players and people that we met that had, what made this person succeed physiologically, but most of the time, the fire in the belly, the I am not going to be defeated, I am going to be the best in the world attitude. Something I want to talk about in next time we talk. So why don't we wrap it there? Thanks for having this conversation in English, so you can put this on your podcast now and reach a broader audience.
Yes.
Thanks good. So much.
Thank you. Have a good day, and hope we see each other in the future.